The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You're not lost with no hope. God knows your name and He knows where you are at. If you're sitting right now, perhaps contemplating suicide, God is there. He knows where you're at.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
We've all had those difficult times in our life where we just couldn't feel God. He seems very far away, sometimes nearly impossible to find. But today we have a great story that will teach us that no matter how far away we walk from God, He's always right by our side.
It just seems like yesterday I had a good job and I had a good life and I was with my son, I was doing things, and now I'm living on the streets, you know, and I'm doing anything and everything to get high. I'm living in seedy, nasty motels. I mean, just terrible places, and all the time.
Today on Everyday Answers, more of Carrie's story as Joyce answers the question, God, where are you?
You are never hidden from God. He sees everything, knows everything. God has His eyes on you all the time, and He never stops thinking about you. God has never one time in your whole life ever had one bad thought about you. How's that for happy? That should make us happy. I'm sure that I don't know anybody else that's never had a bad thought about me, but God has never, ever had one bad thought about us. And you know, sometimes we can get ourselves in some pretty good-sized messes. Amen? But thankfully, God is a God of restoration, and when we cry out to Him sincerely, He will always come and help us get back on the path that we need to be on. Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 14. Okay, so Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulders, and he sent her and the youth away, and she wandered on aimlessly and lost her way in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, just to give you a capsule of background, Abraham had a promise from God that he would have his own heir, his own child. The problem with that was that he and his wife were both way past childbearing years. So the only way that that can happen would be by an outstanding miracle of God. And this promise was given to Abraham, and years went by, and Sarah began to think, well, surely God needs a little bit of help. So she got a bright idea. Does anybody here know what a bright idea is? And she decided that she would give her handmaiden to Abraham to be his secondary wife, and then that she would get pregnant and bear a child, and she would take that child and raise it as her own, and that was the way that she would get God's will. As soon as Hagar discovered she was pregnant, then she got a bad attitude towards Sarah. Now Sarah's blaming Abraham and wanting him to do something about it. So finally she just put her foot down and said, I can't put up with this anymore. You got to get rid of that woman, and you got to get rid of the child. Because by now they had their own child, Isaac, whose name meant laughter, Ishmael, the son that was not of promise but of works. His name meant man of war. Anytime we get something by our works, it's going to cause war in our life. If we wait for God, we can laugh and watch God work. And so the lad was probably a young teenager, and Abraham had to send her and him away, although it broke his heart to do so, trusting God to take care of them. So now they're out in the wilderness. Now when the water in the bottle was all gone, Hagar caused the youth to lie down under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the lad. And she sat down opposite him. And he lifted up his voice and he wept. And she raised her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the youth. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the youth where he is." The first time I saw that in the Bible many years ago, it just really struck me that when the boy cried out, God didn't come and chastise them for all their mistakes. He just said, "I know where you're at. I know the situation you're in." Basically saying, "I've got a plan. Follow me, and I'm going to get you out of this."
Someone offered me heroin, and that's when it really got dark. I was living in my car, in seedy motels, homeless shelters, just wherever I could lay my head. No one in my family was speaking to me. And then I lost full custody of my son. When I came to the end of myself and decided that I couldn't do this anymore, I had lost everything. I didn't even have a penny to my name.
Did you ever ask the question, "God, where are you in all of this?"
I felt a million miles away from him at times, but I still ached for him, and I wanted to get back to him. It's just I couldn't. I felt like I was in such bondage. I felt like there was no way I could. I felt trapped.
You had really everything going for you at one point in your life. You were the homecoming queen. You were into sports, and you were a nurse. But it was an injury in the beginning that kind of began a change in your life. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, I injured my shoulder playing volleyball. I played a lot of intramural sports at the time, and I got prescribed Lortabs for the pain, and I took two. And they killed the pain. I put them in my medicine cabinet, and they sat there for probably another year. I never took any more. And then I re-injured my shoulder again. And I remember I had those pills in my medicine cabinet. And so I went and took two more. And over time, here and there, I would just take a pill here, a pill there. And then it got to be where almost like you would have a glass of wine, I would take a pill here and there. And that led to an out-of-control addiction to pills.
Now, being in the nursing field, you probably had access to those pills as well. That must have been a problem.
I stole pills from work. I called in my own prescriptions. I would go from doctor to doctor, emergency room to emergency room, whatever I could do to get more pills. And there would be, you know, times that I would be sober for a little while, but not long. It's like I couldn't stay clean. I would always relapse time and time again.
Never fulfilled.
Never fulfilled, never. The pills stopped working for me. And so, you know, looking for pills one day, someone offered me heroin. And that's when it really got dark and demonic.
When the main focus of your life becomes all about the drugs, and that's really what you're thinking about all the time, just chasing that high, what is that like for you?
You wake up to get high and you go to bed to get high. And my addiction got so bad that I was willing to do anything and everything to get high. That means break the law, it means steal, it means have sex for drugs, whatever it took. So you have no self-worth anymore. You lose all that, and it's just, you're willing to get into dumpsters, you're willing to rob people, you're willing to steal from your own mom or your own grandmother. I stole my grandmother's ring that my grandfather had given her, you know, when they were teenagers. I mean, that's what it brings you to. It brings you to do things that you would never do otherwise, ever.
So your life went from the homecoming queen to the lowest that you can imagine.
Just a regular old street junkie. That's what I ended up being. It's just a street junkie that had no hope, that was a criminal and a liar and a manipulator and a thief.
And now God's taken you from that lowest of low points, from as you described yourself, a street junkie, to back up to being his daughter.
Yes.
To being, you know, a daughter of the king.
Yes.
How amazing is that when you look at that journey that you've been on?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful love story. It really is. And part of that love story was the dumpster. You know, isn't that cool? God's so awesome.
Where are you? Are you lost in problems, tragedy, or sin? Are you lonely? Are you sick and perhaps afraid of death? Have you been abandoned? Have you been rejected? Are you living with the results of all your mistakes and have no idea at all what to do? Well, you know what? Cry out and God will meet you where you are. You may not know where you're at or what you're doing, but God knows where you're at. And God will come and find you. There's a story in Genesis 28 about Jacob. And Jacob had basically stolen his twin brother Esau's the blessing of the firstborn. The father was dying and he lied and cheated and got the blessing. Well, then the thing that always happens when we lie and cheat, we have to run and hide. And interestingly enough, I have found, and this is a different message I teach, but everybody who ran from God ended up in the wilderness. Come on now. I said everybody who ran from God ended up in the wilderness. And the other very interesting thing I found was that everybody who ran away, God brought them full circle and made them go back and face the thing they ran from. And so he was doing what most people do who make wrong choices. He was running and he ran out into the wilderness. He was all alone. Can't even imagine how he felt now at this point. Perhaps he had remorse over what he had done, but it was too late to go take it back. The interesting thing about that blessing for the firstborn is once it was given, it couldn't be taken back. That's how powerful those words were. So let me just tell you, what God blesses cannot be cursed. Amen. I said what God blesses cannot be cursed. And you are the blessed of the Lord. And the Bible says that he put his head on a rock and laid down on the ground to go to sleep. Now, you know, I noticed a lot of them out in the wilderness use rocks for pillows, and I frankly don't get that. You know, I mean, I can get a real attitude if I forget my orthopedic pillow when I'm on the road. I mean, I got to have my special pillow, not just a pillow, but my special pillow, or I think I can't sleep, let alone on a rock. Well, the place that he was at was named Bethel, but it also was called Luz. So how would you like to be in Luz? And the actual definition of that was nuts. It actually meant almond nuts. So some of you maybe feel like you're in Luz and you're going nuts. But even there, God appeared to him and spoke to him. He had a vision of himself climbing a ladder, going up and down when he slept, and God spoke to him and gave him a promise, wherever you're at, I'll take care of you, and whatever you do, I'll be with you, and, you know, I'll bring my good plan for you to pass. Even though he had just lied and cheated, God said, I will bring my good plan to pass for you. And then Jacob said, behold, God was in this place, and I knew it not. Now, here's the reason why I told you that story. A lot of times you can be in what you think is the absolute worst place that you have ever been in your life, and little do you know it, but God is in that place. So if you're waiting to deserve what you need God to do for you, you might as well give that up tonight and go ahead and just throw yourself on God's mercy and cry out loud or quiet, but sincerely, God, if you don't help me, then I am finished and done for, because there is no way that I can do what needs to be done in my life. God, help me. Now, you may not see a change immediately, but I can tell you, if from that moment on you believe that God is working, no matter what you see or don't see, feel or don't feel, I can promise you that God is faithful. The Bible says, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful, and he will show up in your life, and he will deliver you.
As beautiful as a bird's eye view can be, it's limited. It's detached and distant. After years of drug use, Carrie Sanders' relationship with God felt that same way. But one night, huddled in a sleeping bag on the street in 28-degree weather, she cried out to God, and he was there.
And the truth is I checked out of life right then. I didn't care if somebody would have came by and killed me or raped me or kidnapped me. I mean, that's where I was at that particular time. I was like, done. And I couldn't do it anymore. And I cried out to God and I said, you've got to help me. I can't, or kill me, because I can't live like this. I just cannot do it anymore.
Determined to change her life, she entered a drug rehab program called Wings of Life.
Even when I got here and I had no hope at all, I had no hope because I had just, you know, done so much. I was just so burdened down with what I had done to myself and my son. But God met me right where I was. I told him what was in my heart. I said, you know, I want to believe in you 100%, but I have so much doubt. I have so much unbelief. I have so much brokenness in me. And he just kept meeting me right where I was. And the more I read my word, the more I prayed to him, he just kept meeting me. And
even those places that you thought God would never be.
Exactly.
Like in a dumpster.
In a dumpster.
Yeah.
In a dumpster.
Your lowest points.
In a dumpster. You can't get much lower than being in a dumpster. And the truth is I felt like trash. I had no problem climbing in a dumpster back then because that's the way I felt about myself. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I hated myself for what I had done to myself, my family, and most of all, my son.
Where you were when you found this is really what's so extraordinary. And you didn't really put it all together at first, did you?
No, I didn't. Not at all. I probably had been really walking with the Lord and saved after getting here to Wings of Life about 6 months. And I remember I sat on this very bed and the Lord gave me like a vision, almost like a movie playing in my mind. And he brought back to my remembrance about 9 months before I came here to Wings. And I was in a dumpster. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was really high on drugs. And I was digging through the dumpster and I came across this book. And I remember looking at the book and setting it to the side. And then when it was time for me to get out of the dumpster, I got the book and put it in my backpack for some reason. And it sat there for 9 months until I came here to Wings. I began to read it every day. I really had forgot where I even got the book at until the day, you know, I sat on this bed and he showed me. And he spoke to me and said, I was with you in the dumpster that night and I never leave you and I never forsake you.
Because this is one of Joyce's really old books. I mean, this is one of her first devotionals. So yeah. God had this orchestrated for you for a long time, for that book to be at the right place for you.
At the right time. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it blows my mind. You know, and I wonder, I mean, it was all part of God's plan, but somebody threw this book away. I'm like, why? You know what I mean? Why? But it all happened like it was supposed to,
exactly.
Which is really cool.
Coming up, we have the conclusion to Joyce's answer, but first, it's time for your voice. You sent us examples of how God has changed your life. Let's take a look. Sandy from Tennessee said, I have inner peace and calmness around me. I've learned to slow down and stop being so angry at things I don't understand. Kagiso says, God has molded my character. I used to be a drunk and now I'm crazy in love with the Lord. His grace has transformed my soul into a man who shares the good news of the gospel. Nicole from South Africa said, I no longer live in the past or worry about the future. God has given me the courage to face my past and has given me a deep love for my husband and family. Well, you know that no matter what it is in your life that you're facing right now, that God can change it into His plan for you. But we have to do our part. It takes some work. It takes a lot of time and prayer and sometimes facing some hard things in our life. And you are going to love seeing what changes God is making in Carrie's life. Quite amazing. God reached out to Carrie in a dumpster. He was right there. Where did He reach out to you? That's our question for you on social media this week. So share with us on Facebook, on Twitter, use hashtag EA. Let us know, where did God find you? And now here's the conclusion to Carrie's story and more of Joyce's answer.
Why did you even hold on to that book? You found it at a dumpster. You know, why was that something that you kept with you?
I don't know. I do now. I know it was God now, but at the time, I don't know. But I do know now, you know, God's revealed that to me, that He was there with me in the dumpster. You know, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He was with me there. But, you know, at the lowest point in my life, I found this book, and I know that wasn't by accident. It was just so easy to understand.
You know what I mean? It's just real and to the point, and you can understand it. That's why I love that book.
And you still read it today?
I still read it every day.
Well, I've been here for...
After graduating from the rehab program, the facility hired Carrie as a house mother, where she could use her story to help others.
The good thing about being transformed is you cannot go back. If you change, you can always go back. I don't want to just change. I want to be transformed. Literally,
so to someone who is asking that question because their life has maybe gone somewhere completely different than they thought they would ever be, and they're looking around and they're saying, God, where are you? What would you tell them?
God is with you. Nobody has gone too far. You haven't done too much. You haven't committed too many crimes. You haven't had sex with too many people. You cannot go too far for God. He's a forgiving God. He's a redeemer. He died on the cross so that we can be truly free. If he can do it for me, he's no respecter of persons. He will do it for anybody, because I promise you, I was a lost cause. My family thought so. I thought so. But God didn't think so.
You know, no matter where you're at, God is there. Psalm 139 makes that very, very clear. If I go to the highest heavens, you're there. If I go to the deepest recesses of the earth, you're there. No matter where I go, God, you're there. And so I can tell you tonight, you know, if you're listening, sitting in a bar, I don't know why they'd be playing this in a bar, but you never know. Maybe somebody accidentally turned the program on. If you're listening, sitting in a bar right now, God is there. Amen. If you're watching in prison, God is there. If you're watching in a hospital bed, God is there. If you're watching in a homeless shelter, God is there. You're not lost with no hope. God knows your name, and he knows where you are at. If you're sitting right now, perhaps contemplating suicide, God is there. He knows where you're at. Amen. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him, and he will eat with me. You know, eating in the Bible was very significant. It signified intimacy. It affirmed relationships. Covenants and treaties were sealed with meals. The Passover was instituted with a meal. The celebration and remembrance of the Lord's body being broken and his blood being poured out is done with eating. And Jesus wants to eat with you. And you know what that means? He wants to share your life. If there's anything that I'm wanting to teach people now, I'm really wanting to share with people how to do life with God and not just do church on Sunday morning. Amen? Please understand that he wants to be involved. He cares about every aspect of your life. There's nothing about you that God doesn't care about intimately. Many families have all but given up eating meals together because of the crazy way people tend to live today, everybody going in a different direction. But you know, if I would sit down with my four grown children right now, mine and Dave's children, and ask them what some of their fondest memories were, they would talk about dinner and the things that we talked about at the dinner table. And God wants to be a guest in everything that you do. Now, the Bible is full of redemption stories. I mean, amazing redemption stories. And everything that God puts in his word is for our encouragement. So let's go over just a few of these. Noah, a great story of redemption. You can read Genesis 6, 7, and 8 and get the full picture. But God warned of a coming judgment. And he said that those who would repent of their sin and believe would be saved. He told Noah to build an ark to contain those who would believe. But after all of Noah's preaching, building the ark, going through everybody thinking he had completely lost his mind, He said they didn't know what a boat was because they'd never had rain. It took some faith. And by the end of all of his preaching, only 8 souls went into the ark, and they was him and his wife and their family. And then pairs of all the animals. What will you believe? If God is knocking on the door of your heart tonight, will you open the door and let him in? Will you get on the ark? Will you cry out and let God into every situation in your life? Or will you just continue to do a little religious thing on Sunday morning and think that's all there is to it? And you know, many of you in this place, maybe that's not you. You probably wouldn't bother to come out to something like this if you weren't pretty serious in your relationship with God. But we're sharing the word right now with hopefully millions of people all over the world. And we want everyone watching to know that God sees you, he knows where you're at, he's got a plan for you, and he's not gonna give up on you so easy. Amen.
So remember, you can trust that God sees you, he knows you, and he will never, ever leave you. We love helping you to get into God's word because that's where that confidence comes from. And today, Joyce's offer will help you do that. We have, first of all, this book called Knowing God Intimately. When you know who God is, when you understand his character, you'll know that he will never leave you, and you can trust in that. The subtitle is Being as Close to Him as You Want to Be, because it's us who moves, it's not God. And in this package, you'll also get a DVD called Trusting God When You Don't Understand. That's the key. Maybe you don't understand everything that's happening in your life. Maybe you don't feel God, but it's trusting that he is faithful. These resources will help you understand that fact and realize that you are never alone. We hope you'll be right here with us next time on Everyday Answers.
When I speak the word of God, it's not me, but the word of God, that people are healed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, socially, and in every way that they can.
If you would like to ask a question, whatever it may be, all you need to do is go to any of those social media outlets, Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page. You can use Twitter. Use hashtag AskJoyce. That helps us find it. And then be watching the show right here as we dig into those answers together. And don't forget, God has not left you behind. He is right there with you, even in this very moment. Be encouraged in that. And remember how much he loves you. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.